You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I take care of people like Mr. Fetterman who have had atrial fibrillation, which is where we think his stroke came from, where how it originated. And I admire his courage to go on that debate last night. He had to know that he was facing basically a fast-talking TV doctor who at times seemed to be talking almost intentionally faster in the face of Mr. Fetterman's difficulty speaking. Sometimes it appeared almost cruelly faster.
Cruelly faster, as if he's trying to demolish Fetterman based on his health. Let me break that down for you. This is October 27, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com. You enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up that page and you can join us live in studio. I see more and more of you doing it. And if you miss it, you can always pull it up later and watch it as many are also doing. And, of course, all the audio from each program appears as a podcast later in the day at LarryConnorsUSA.com. The voice you were hearing then was Dr. Jonathan Reiner. He is a CNN medical analyst. He's a cardiologist. And as you heard him say, obviously Fetterman was struggling in his debate a couple of nights ago. And Dr. Reiner is saying it was going to be confusing to him to begin with, and that maybe Dr. Mehmet Oz, the Republican, was talking faster than normal just because it would confuse him, just possibly cruelly confusing Fetterman. Now, that bite plays great for the left-wing media and makes Oz look like, oh, my God, what a crude creature he must be. I told you yesterday, regarding that debate, it was difficult for Oz because he's trying to walk a line here. He knows the man's incapacitated because of a recent stroke. He's trying to look like he's not beating up on a man that's missing a lot of neurons at this point or they're not firing correctly. But CNN loved that bite from the doctor saying that Mehmet Oz was almost cruelly talking faster, trying to throw him off. We're going to get into that in more detail because actually the doctor CNN had another complaint issue. And I don't think this one sat well with CNN, but we'll get to that in a moment. So we have a lot of mudslinging ramping up here in these closing days as we get closer to November 8th, the midterm election date. New allegations that Georgia Senate candidate, Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker, paid for a woman's abortion 30 years ago. And, of course, well, folks, well, first to say, 30 years ago, that's past history so far. I mean, does it have any bearing now? Well, it does because of Roe v. Wade and because Herschel Walker's on the Republican ticket going against Senator Raphael Warnock. And, of course, they want abortion basically unrestricted. So we're going to have to get into that because he's being represented by feminist, the woman making the claim is being represented by feminist Gloria Allred. And she came with all of her notes and information. We'll get Walker's response as well. My guest today, one of them, Fred Lucas, he's the chief news correspondent and manager investigating project for the Daily Signal. He had a book out, Abuse of Power, Inside the 3-Year Campaign to Destroy Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about today in Pennsylvania, the Democrat election steal might already be underway in Pennsylvania. We'll explain why. Meanwhile, Democrats fear that the GOP will steal the election. Everybody's blaming everybody for stealing. And Biden says, if you're not fully vaccinated, you're going to die. He added, you just get one more booster, you'll be safe, as he got his fifth booster. Now, my other guest is Stephanie Lundquist Arora. In a piece for The Federalist, she points out that transgender activists, are you listening? Transgender activists are offering cash and rides to gender-confused minors to help get them somewhere where maybe they can get puberty blockers and maybe even mutilation surgery without their parents knowing about it. So sad and distressing. We'll be focusing on that as well. And then another child shot in Chicago inside his home. And Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is pushing forward because she thinks she deserves it. An increase in pay. She wants more money. While a child is dying in his bathroom because of a shot that came from a gang warfare outside his house. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Yeah, they're sighting.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on and not move.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In April of 1993, our client learned that she was pregnant. She was surprised. She had been on birth control throughout their entire relationship. When she told Mr. Walker that she was pregnant, he seemed shocked. She didn't know what to do. Mr. Walker clearly wanted her to have an abortion and convinced her to do so.
Those are the words of the feminist attorney, Gloria Allred, representing a woman who does not want to be identified, and claiming that she is one of two women now, claiming that they had affairs with Walker while he was married and had a child by him, and this one saying that he was forcing her into an abortion. I don't know how much validity the first one has, but obviously this one caught the attention of Gloria Allred, or the woman caught the attention of Gloria Allred, and why not get back into the limelight? May or may not be true. I'm not trying to judge it one way or the other. Neither should you at this point, because we don't really know the facts, do we? This is a caution for all of us. First of all, and even Herschel Walker would admit to this, if you're going to go by the Bible, you can't put your trust in the man. Man is sinful. Man, the best man you know, will either lie to you or mislead you or do something you just thought that no way that man could have done it. But he did. I want you to keep that caution in mind. But again, it's a campaign. And it's a no-holds-bar jump right now. And basically whatever you could do to destroy Herschel Walker, because the numbers have shown him pulling closer, closer, and in fact tied and maybe slightly ahead at last check of Senator Raphael Warnock. So it is all hands on deck, is a full assault. Don't hold anything back. This is scorched earth policy. And abortion paid for by Herschel Walker, as alleged. That's big. That's damaging. Well, Herschel Walker has already responded to this previously, but once again, back to the well and the response from Herschel Walker.
I've already told people this is a lie, and I'm not going to entertain because continue to carry a lie alone. And I also want to let you know I didn't kill JFK either. And right now they sent him one. After he got crushed at that debate, now the Democrats are doing say whatever they can to win this fight, to win this, this seat. But I want them to know they don't know Herschel Walker. They don't know that I'm from Wrightsville, Georgia, and I'm going to win this seat.
That's his statement at this time, that he's going to win the seat. As I said, it has gotten a lot tighter, and I'll give you some of that in a moment. In fact, let me go ahead and touch on it now for you. With less than 2 weeks to go until the election, a poll that came out just yesterday, a Wednesday coefficient poll is the way it's labeled, shows that Walker has his largest lead over Senator Raphael Warnock with less than 2 weeks to go. This puts Walker above Warnock by 4 points, 47% for Herschel Walker, 43.6% supporting the incumbent. And interesting enough, the poll found that half of Georgia voters have an unfavorable view of Warnock. Warnock, of course, is a minister, and part of the campaign running against him is that his church was throwing people out of their homes, evicting them because they were $27 or $40, maybe $60 behind in rent, just kicking them out. That's not good for his campaign either. But this is more damning, if it's accurate. Once again, Gloria Allred laying out the basic case.
Our client alleges that Mr. Walker gave her cash to pay for the abortion and that she went to a clinic in Dallas, Texas. However, while she was at the clinic, she became overwhelmed with emotion. She could not go through with it, and she left the clinic in tears. When Mr. Walker called that night, our client told him what had happened and that she had not gone through with the abortion. He was upset. He pressured her to go back to the clinic with him the next day to go through with the abortion. The following day, Mr. Walker drove her to the clinic and waited in the parking lot for hours until the abortion was completed and she came out. Then he drove her to the pharmacy to pick up medications and supplies as prescribed, and then he drove her home.
That's pretty detailed, and she had various receipts supposedly linking the woman to Herschel Walker, including some love notes, possibly, cards, even a recording from a voicemail where you hear a man's voice. Whether or not it's Walker, I don't think you can determine by that unless you do a full voice analysis. I'm not trying to make any excuse for Herschel Walker. I want to point back. We point out that he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and of course that was a big part. They thought for sure that would be great for him in Georgia. A black man who's fought his way up and reached the Heisman Trophy and everything else, but never mind, you have another black man that achieved such great fame, even beyond Herschel Walker, who then was accused of killing his wife and a friend. But acquitted. The glove didn't fit. You must acquit, remember. But Herschel Walker is still facing this issue. And, of course, I want to remind you of something else. We're talking about the state of Georgia, where if you listen to the Democrats on a continuous basis as they beat their war drums, there were going to be so many votes suppressed by Georgia because they changed their voting laws, remember? And it's not just in Georgia. They're talking about any red state that changed any law requiring a voter ID, You're suppressing votes. You're trying to put old Jim Crow law back into effect, as Biden and the rest of the Democrats have been claiming. Well, here's the fact. The fact is, Georgia voters are shattering the record for the presidential turnout on Saturday. That was in 2022 that we're talking about at that point, the presidential turnout record. But as of this last Saturday, they shattered the early voting compared to the presidential turnout. Georgia's had record early voting turnout since the first day of early voting this year, nearly surging to twice the number on the first day of early voting in 2018. And totals have surged to nearly twice on the first day at that time. Now, again, all of this has to do with back during the claim that we were going to be shutting out a lot of people going into the voting. But, again, when you go through some of these numbers, through October 22nd, 2022, total turnout, 816,000, 740,000 early person, absentee 76,200. Now, against that number for what we have here of this year and the midterm election, turnout the same through the same day in 2020, early in-person voting, I told you, was 740,000, and you had another 76,000 for absentee. Early in-person voting in 2020 was 812,000. So there's been no suppression. Ah, but they have an answer for that. They have an answer as to why more and more people are voting, even though we're told you should expect voter suppression. And the answer comes from none other than political smart know-it-all, Joy Reid.
And I will note for people who say, oh, the Georgia turnout means that there's no voter suppression. And I can tell you this just from having worked in campaigns, particularly black voters turn out early more when there's more voter suppression because they're nervous that they want to have a second shot if their vote gets rejected. If they show up and their names have been taken off the rolls, they want to be able to come back. And so people vote early because there's more voter suppression.
Because there's more voter suppression, they're voting earlier. Do you follow that logic? Now, of course, she says the reason they vote early, because black people, they get there and find out, well, I came to vote early, but I'm not going to be allowed to vote. My registration's changed or anything. So if I'm rejected, then I'll get a chance to come back again. Now, that doesn't mean voting twice. She's not implying that. Some of them might be, but that's not what she's implying. She is implying that they get there and they're not allowed to vote because their credentials don't match and whatever else that they cannot provide at that point based upon that state and what its requirements are and for that election. And she says that's why they go to vote early, because they want to have a chance to come back again in case they're rejected. Well, I don't know. You look at these numbers right now, the total turnout in Georgia for through October 22nd. What was that, 5 days ago? Total turnout, 816,000. That's pretty impressive for a state that was going to be suppressing the vote. Did they all go there early because, like Joy Reid said, they were fearful that they might be rejected and they might have to come back again, so they want to make sure they get a second bite at the apple? And again, we're not trying to say voting twice, but if you're rejected, you get a chance to get your information together and come back and vote again. That's what she's suggesting. But I want to point out something just outside the Georgia race itself. As of Thursday, according to data analyzed by the Florida U.S. Election Project, talking about the nation now, they are tallying 14 million early votes, 14 million early votes, 9 million mail-in ballots returned, and Project Elect, or rather electproject.org, as of October 17th, it tallied 2 million plus early votes, 1.8 million returned mail-in ballots, 200,000 ballots almost cast in person. A number of states did open up early voting this past week. And, of course, the other question had been is what would be driving voters to the poll this time? Right after the Dobbs ruling, the Democrats were yelling and banner waving, and Biden did it again the other day. Roe v. Wade is our call. Now, most of the public puts Roe v. Wade and abortion, quote, justice, as they want to declare it, down on their list. Even 87% of black voters were saying, my main concern is the economy. But an analyst for CNN, Tom Bonnier with Target Smart, has this view of it.
the theory going into this election was that Democrats wouldn't be fired up. This was going to be a typical midterm election where the party in power, their voters would stay home. And it was kind of looking like that was going to be the case until the Dobbs decision.
Right.
We've talked about the surge in voter registration, and then there was a question. Well, it's great that women are registering to vote, but are they going to turn out?
Yeah.
This early vote day, and like you said, I mean, almost a million votes in Georgia, despite the governor's voter suppression bill, still getting that high turnout. And big gender gaps, like you said, driven by women, especially African-American women in Georgia. You're seeing the same thing in Pennsylvania. We're looking at these first-time voters, people who have not voted in any election before. Those are where you're seeing the biggest gender gaps.
Yeah.
So it's clearly showing that the issue is motivating women to come out.
I don't buy that. All those numbers don't tell me, just because more women are coming out, that it's all built around Dobbs and the Supreme Court ruling. He's smarter than me. I'm going to give him credit. He's looking at the numbers. But I just read to you, shared with you a moment ago, a survey which I'd reported earlier this week, or last week, I guess it was, that I said 87%. It could have been, let's say, 83% of black women surveyed by a group that focused on black voters and black women, and their dominant concern was economy, inflation, how they're going to put food on the table, where they're going to get the money for the gas and everything else. Then you got abortion and crime down the road. And of course, you cannot have an election nowadays without somebody claiming it's going to be stolen if we don't do this and do that. Well, in Pennsylvania, they might already be trying to steal it, the Democrats. But coming up first, you're going to get to hear the Democrats claim Republicans are stealing. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are watching Republicans not just destroying democracy in the dark, breaking into election officers and plugging stuff in. We're watching them do it from rally stages, debate stages.
We could lose our democracy, and it could happen in 17 days.
A majority of Americans believe that democracy is under threat.
Democracy on the ballot is not just a slogan.
A lot of Republicans in the last 3 weeks have suddenly found themselves deciding, hey, party over country.
I'm wondering whether this puts America into the fast lane towards illiberal democracy.
I'm not going to say that, you know, the GOP are Nazis at this point or whatever, but it certainly sounds very familiar.
We will wake up the morning after Election Day. We might not even call it that anymore in 2 years.
Oh, my God. Get in bed and cover yourself up and do not come out until after Election Day 2022. After the inauguration of the new president or whatever. But, I mean, look at this. The other day, I ran a clip of Hillary Clinton saying, the Republicans are trying to steal the election and they're doing it right in, she said, the presidential election for 2024. They're trying to steal the election right in front of us. And she was fronting for an organization that was trying to raise money. Well, I let her do her little clip on the program talking about how she believed that it's right in front of everybody. Republicans are already trying to steal the presidential election. Not this one. That one's also in play. But she's looking, said, look ahead to 2024, and Republicans are already trying to steal it. Let me see it. I don't think they're going to say the Russians this time. Who could they blame? Let me see. I'm running through different countries that they might try to blame. I don't know. It might be yet an unnamed country that has not yet been created. What do you think? Maybe I need to call my friend George Norrie from Coast to Coast and say, George, are you hearing anything about aliens coming down trying to help the Republicans steal the election in 2024? Now, maybe that's where we should be looking. Because everything you're hearing on those sound bites, those sound clips of Democrat operatives, although masquerading as news people, journalists, which they could barely spell the word, just saying flat out the Republicans are going to steal the election. It is as much fiction as people claiming they were picked up by a spaceship in the middle of the night and brought back to Earth. Now, maybe I need to be corrected here. George Norrie has some great people appearing on this program on paranormal type stuff from coast to coast. Not all paranormal, but there are some that tell a story that, yeah, that's pretty fascinating. I mean, could something like that happen? I do remember years ago, I'll be very honest with you, decades ago, I hate to go back that far, but yes, I was working at a TV station in town. I hadn't been in town long, and I pick up the phone, and this metallic voice said, Larry Connors, is this Larry Connors? I said, yes, and said, we are from the planet you call Mars, and we have arrived. I said, what? We have landed in the town you call Bellefontaine, neighbors, I wanted to let you know we're here so you could have the interview. Well, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to pass on that interview. Of course, I've always thought there'll be a day in the future Martians will show up and say, we were here back in the 70s. We talked to anchor Larry Connors and told him we were here, and he didn't do the story. What an idiot. Well, he missed the story. I'm willing to take that chance. Just like I'm willing to take the chance all this nonsense Republicans claiming, or rather Democrats claiming Republicans are going to steal the election. I will bank on Democrats are going to try. And in fact, in Pennsylvania, they might have fired the first salvo. My guest coming up next has some details that you need to know about what's happening in Pennsylvania. And it's an indicator of what might be going on elsewhere. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. That'll bring you right to our studio. You can also later get it on a podcast. You can subscribe. We'll send it to you automatically. And it's no cost to you, and we do not sell your information. So I told you yesterday that even though the debate, the first and only debate for the Senate race in Pennsylvania between Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, Democrat, and Dr. Mehmet Oz, Republican, took place Tuesday night. At that point, nearly half of all vote-by-mail ballots had already been cast. They'd already voted before the debate. And I wondered how many would like to take their vote back and change it after watching Fetterman. But there's a bigger issue. And my next guest, Fred Lucas, he has details. He's a chief news correspondent, manager of the investigative reporting project for the Daily Signal. Also author of the book Abuse of Power, Inside the Three-Year Campaign to Impeach Donald Trump. Fred, glad to have you on board, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So I'm looking at a piece that you put out in the Daily Signal that lawmakers want to know why Pennsylvania sent out 240,000 unverified ballots. What do we mean by unverified to begin with?
Unverified means that the county clerks, in most cases, did not check the identity, did not verify whether the identity was correct when these people sent their applications in for a mail-in ballot. In Pennsylvania, they usually have to provide some type of number or something along those lines when they send those in. And in this case, we have 240,000, almost a quarter million, that were just sent out. That's in part, large part, because the Democratic-run Secretary of the Commonwealth Office had given sort of conflicting guidance to local election clerks as to one guidance saying that they did not have to provide they did not have to confirm the identity before they sent out the
how would they have reached that decision that you don't need to verify who it goes to?
And that is confusing because there were actually two conflicting issues there, and this somewhat gets back to a 2019 audit, state audit that was done into the Secretary of Commonwealth office in terms of how they keep their election records, and even the advisory opinions that they give to local clerks. And that the audit back in 2019 just simply said that it's inoperable, that their record keeping is not working. That's part of the reason why these 15 members of the State House of Representatives, they're trying to head off any type of problem ahead of the election in this case, and just trying to get straight what ballots should or should not have been sent out and try to avoid some sort of controversy that might happen after the election.
All right, let me break it down on that point. Let me break down that. So they have the names and addresses where the ballots went out. So it's simple enough to say those will not be counted at this point, or will have to verify before you send them out, or will they be allowed to vote and be held to the side and counted only if necessary?
They would not be counted immediately under the state law until the address is verified. Identity is verified.
Right.
This is a case in which, that is what the lawmakers are requesting, and the lawmakers are also requesting information about the unidentified ballots. They were able to ascertain this by looking at the cross check with the Social Security Administration, because they determined that the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office, which is what most states call the Secretary of State's office, had cross checked this, and they came back with 240,000 that did not pan out correctly.
At the feet of Democrats in Pennsylvania that they were purposely trying to steal the election, or sorry?
I can't get inside their head. I can only report what's happened so far as a factual matter.
And who's responsible for sending them out?
Who's responsible is Democrats. Yes, it's the Democratic administration. So yeah. In Pennsylvania, by the way, the Secretary of State is appointed by the governor, and it's an acting Secretary of State, Lee Chapman, in that role right now. They're appointed by the governor and then confirmed by the legislature.
You heard what I said in the beginning, and we're pointing out even before the Fetterman Oz debate the other night, that nearly half of all vote-by-mail ballots had already been cast. Now, I don't know that it includes this 240,000, but they'd actually been cast or, I guess, sent back. So half of all mail-by-vote ballots are vote-by-mail, and I don't know that if we have any actual number total on that. I'm looking at that. But that raises a big question, too. I mean, this early voting, folks are doing it early for various reasons. It might be personal or whatever. But then things change in the last closing days of an election, as we're seeing in Georgia with Herschel Walker. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, there might be some buyer's remorse from folks who had already sent their ballot in after the debate that happened 2 nights ago. I mean, that could be the case many places with early voters, whether it's Republican or Democrat.
You know, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, that gets to the point there of early voting. Some pitfalls there.
And Hillary Clinton came out the other day, Fred, and pointed out that speaking on behalf of a group that she was saying you got to crunch the coup. The Republicans are already trying to steal the presidential 2024 election.
Yeah. She's an election denier for the 2024 already. Yeah. So it hasn't happened yet. She was already an election denier about 2016, so now she's jumping ahead. She's getting ahead of the game. So.
I did see a piece on TikTok, and of course, no way to verify it. But a man's got a trunk open; he's pulling out what appear to be a lot of ballots and envelopes, so forth. And a woman is videoing it, and he says, "Why are you doing this?" She said, "Because we want to make sure the election's not stolen." I don't know if he was a Democrat or Republican or if they were actual ballots, but I mean this. This fear has absolutely destroyed the credibility of our election system. I don't care who ends up winning.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is a problem. And again, that in my new book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, that's out now. But it gets there is a both sides tend to reject the outcome if it doesn't go their way on some level. And we've seen that building, of course, with Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams, Donald Trump. I mean, we can probably expect the same thing a little bit this year. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks if Stacey Abrams, she's running behind now, but I don't think anybody anticipates she'll completely accept the result graciously.
And they're having a massive turnout in Georgia, contrary to reported voter suppression laws. And Joy Reid of MSNBC said that's because black people want to vote early in case they get there and they're not allowed to vote, so they get to come back a second time. Not actually say they're voting twice, but they get to come back and do it again or present their vote again.
I think the entire voter suppression aspect has been like completely knocked out of the water. My book came out in time enough to point out that the primaries, there was very high voter turnout during the primary season, even in those states like Georgia, Arizona, Texas, where the Biden administration is suing those states, claiming they were suppressing votes. Those states have some near record turnout in their primaries. Since that time, just in the last few weeks, we've seen early voting in those states, and the numbers have been huge. So if we continue on that track by the end of Election Day when votes are counted, it's going to be probably historic proportions for a midterm election, a non-presidential year. Georgia, I would add even, you're on a par right now with early voting. You've had almost as much early voting now as you did in 2020.
Right.
And you've had twice as much early voting this year as you did in Georgia as you did in 2018. And 2018 was a pretty high voter turnout year.
Fred Lucas, again, the name of the new book that's out, The Myth of Voter Suppression. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And the Myth of Voter Suppression.
Available right now. Fred.
Yeah, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get books.
I appreciate it. Fred Lucas with The Daily Signal. Thank you very much, sir. Coming up, you bet. Coming up, we've got a well-known name saying Hunter Biden is a liar. Pretty much. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite. The finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something with you we haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time on, and we do need to, and we will, but so many things have been coming at us fast and furious involving this midterm election. Jim Richards is was an ex-CIA advisor, insider, I should say, and a financial advisor of the Pentagon, a leading voice in global finance for decades. He has a book out now called Currency Wars, and it's often being cited one of the more important works of the last decade. And he's sounding an alarm that many don't want to hear, but according to him, that's a big mistake. I'm going to quote his remarks here. The U.S. dollar, as we know it, is doomed. President Biden signed the death warrant himself March 9th with Executive Order 14067. According to Jim Richards, buried inside this little-known federal order, specific language that could lead not only to legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, but also control over your bank accounts and purchases. Now, we have dealt with this to some extent, but this gets even deeper. He said, this is a pretty sinister move by the president, to tell you the truth, and I'll bet 99% of the Americans have no idea about it. I would agree with that. While we've touched on it, it's just been the tip of it, because when you start talking economics, a lot of people just kind of phase out unless it means what they're paying is they're buying something. But he says what's worse, it could spell disaster for the wealth of millions of Americans at a time when inflation is already destroying the purchasing power. And he says this sets the stage for fully trackable spyware version of the U.S. dollar. They've already talked about crypto coins that supposedly folks are getting into because they don't want to know, or people don't want the government or others to know where they're spending their money. I'll be honest with you. Let's say somebody says, oh, I'm going to a strip club. Not only anybody know I was there, so I'll use my crypto coin because I got a crypto machine in there, and it will never show that I was there. It just shows money taken out of my crypto account. Doesn't say where and how. Or for whatever reason. It's also a way, of course, to launder money if it's not being watched. So we have to know that there's a criminal element that could be involved. But he says, sadly, most Americans are going to be completely caught off guard by it. This is his best-selling book, Currency Wars, if you want to check it out. We will be having more on that as we move forward. So I mentioned there's a well-known name that basically says Hunter Biden is a liar. This is a comedian, Jon Stewart, in his Apple TV Plus podcast. He's discussing politics with a British journalist, and they turned to the conversation to Hunter Biden's laptop. And Stewart said, let's say it was real, and people just thought, well, the one thing in it is maybe 10% to the big guy, which is circumstantial at best. But as far as, like, look, Hunter Biden being on board of, and the other guy said, Burisma, he said, yep, to me that's corruption straight off the bat. And then he continued, the idea that nepotism would allow much larger amounts of money to flow into the hands of people unqualified to be in positions that they've accepted because those countries are trying to buy influence. And make no mistake about that. Let me add this. Make no mistake about it. Hunter Biden was using daddy's name to make these deals and make a money for himself and maybe 10% to the big guy. But the bottom line was he was trading on Papa's influence because he was VP at the time. And everybody was sure he would become president. What we have here, when I look at Stewart, though, he says, this nepotism, this is welcome to the effing world. I think that's a huge problem on its face. Forget about any secret laptop. He's making the point, you don't need the laptop. The information on it and so forth and everything else that Hunter himself has admitted that, well, it might be in my laptop. You know, I was kind of stoned a little bit. I was drunk. I don't really remember. I can't remember a lot. It's kind of foggy and hazy. You've heard his excuses. I just don't, you know, poor me, I can't remember. You know, it's, I don't have the situation Daddy does, but drugs will do that to you, and alcohol. But what he could remember, the one thing that was a piece of clarity inside his fogged mind was, I never gave any money to Daddy. He indicates on the laptop he was going to. And VP Biden at that time was saying, I have nothing to do with any of that. And as a candidate for president, I had nothing to do with that. And as president, I had nothing to do with it, and I still don't. If Republicans win control of the House and the Senate, there will be a full, proper inquiry into this. No more of this running around over and over rehashing January 6th, which the Democrats are still pounding the drum on that, and they will all the way up to the midterm and on to the next presidential election. Even when they're out of power, they'll still be saying, well, but remember, we didn't, as Whoopi Goldberg told Ted Cruz the other day, but we didn't riot at the Capitol. We didn't riot. And Ted Cruz said, did I miss something, Whoopi? Were you, was I sleeping while we had something like 500 street riots across our nation? They do have a memory issue when it's convenient. You understand that. All right, coming up, we're going to look a little closer at the Fetterman interview from the other, I should say the debate the other day, and in the view of a cardiologist as to what might be going on with Fetterman. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.